That was Grupo de Improvisazione Nueva Consonanza.
I thought that's...
Is that what you thought?
I thought that's what that was.
Grupo de Improvisazione Nueva Consonanza?
You potted me down for a second.
No, I thought I had you on the wrong microphone. I always get confused because there's two mics there. And I never know which one it's going to go on.
You do a nice...
What?
You're the king of the captain's chair.
Yeah. You know, that group is made up of all these composers, and one of them is Ennio Morricone, right?
The
soundtrack composer.
Spaghetti Western stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they say? You know that...
The whistling?
Who can whistle on command? The Andy Griffith guy.
Yeah.
Made the big bucks. You know, doodle-doodle-doo.
Yeah, what about him?
And then they go... What are they saying?
They're not saying anything. They're just...
My friend used to say it was don't step on grapefruit.
No.
Don't step on grapefruit.
They're not saying anything.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no one knows? Maybe it's just...
They're not saying anything.
Just phonic pulsations.
Yeah. So that was Matatoyo was the track we heard there. Matatoyo. That means
Mariachi.
No, Matatoyo, which means slaughterhouse.
Mata Harry. Remember that stupid Saturday morning show? Lance
hold on a second.
Link?
I got to do something. Yeah, that's better. Whether the what now?
Lance Link.
Oh yeah, Lancelot. Wasn't it Lancelot?
Mata Harry.
Yeah.
What's your theory, Darwin?
Darwin.
We've done this before.
What?
I've talked about this before.
Have we?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Come on,
that
25
one.
Years. Don't you repeat yourself? So you never catch yourself. Just
probably.
Like,
probably.
Man, that story again.
You know, it's getting close to your time. We got 1 minute.
How'd your show go?
Well, I was finishing up my set list there. Shall I say the last couple of things?
Just put them on.
Joachim Kahn and Rolf Kuhn. Kuhn. K-U-H-N. How do you say that? El Dorado was the
track. Was it Joaquin?
Huh?
Joaquin, you said?
Joachim.
Oh, Joachim.
Joachim.
Okay. Yeah.
Kuhn. I don't know if they're brothers or whatever, but...
Joachim Kuhn.
Yes, Kuhn.
It's like these guys, see?
Bloody Rockers. They look cool, right?
Joachim.
You might actually like this record. It's kind of like got a little bit of fusion type
like
jazz.
It. I wouldn't.
I think you would.
I'm pretty sure. You know, I'm just saying.
This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org.
That's
I'm
it.
Fabio, and
there'll be
stay tuned
windows.
For the
if you
Dusty
hang around,
show.
There'll be windows. Pop in windows for you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Windows.
It's good to see you, man.
The
I'm
Dusty Show
dazed.
Begins right now.
I went to bed at 7:30 this morning.
7:30.
And got up at like 11. We're, to finish we're, this baby.
We're officially into the Dusty Show now.
Okay.
Clay Pigeon coming right up immediately. See you later.
Now this morning, the president had a press conference. He said the private sector is doing fine. It's an extraordinary miscalculation and misunderstanding by a president who's out of touch. And we're going to take back this country and get America working again.
Hello, everybody. This is Clay Pigeon. You're listening to The Dusty Show.
It is absolutely clear that the economy is not doing fine. That's the reason I had the press conference. The economy is not doing fine. There are a lot of Americans who are hurting right now, which is what I've been saying for the last year. 2 years. 3 years. What I've been saying since I came into office.
Right now at 6, we now know the identity of the man whose face was gnawed off during a struggle in the MacArthur Causeway.
We gotta make this land better land than the world in which we live.
And we gotta help this man be a better man with the kindness that we give.
I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
I know darn well we can work it out.
Yes, we can. I know you can. Yes, we can. Or why can't we? If we want it, yes, we can.
I know we can make it if we try.
Yes, we can. I know we can. Can. Yes, we can.
We got your mind.
Yes, we can. I know we can. Can.
Do you think the United States is on a downward trajectory?
The global dominance of the United States, we can say it started after World War II. There's new players. There's China. There's South America, Brazil. How do you define dominance or power? If you have the most money, if military power, or what is it?
What's your first name?
Aaron.
You have the red patch on.
I've
seen that lately. It's something to do with Quebec, I think.
That's right, yeah. There have been hundreds of thousands of students on strike in Montreal and all around Quebec for roughly 110 days. I forget the exact number now. They started by sort of resisting tuition increases. They see what's happening here in the U.S. Tuition increases spiral, and then they get into more and more debt. Then they continued marching for days and days and days and months now. At some point, the government passed a law. I think May 22nd, the government passed a law called Law 78, which basically outlaws assemblies of greater than 50 people unless you provide the police with a route ahead of time. The day after that law passed, hundreds of thousands of people were in the street of Quebec, the largest act of civil disobedience in Canadian history. Here in New York City, we've been marching every night, 8 p.m. from Washington Square Park. Sometimes it's 20 people, sometimes it's 300 people, and we expect to continue that as long as they're marching in Quebec.
In solidarity with...
Yes. Yeah.
Here's a thought. Maybe it's time for Occupy Wall Street to actually participate in the American political process. It seems to be working for the Tea Party. Now they have 62 seats in Congress. And that's because the Tea Party took it to the next level. They mobilized. The Occupy movement could do the same thing for the Democrats. We need Occupy to be our Tea Party.
This is just the very beginning. I like to compare it to like the civil rights movement in the 40s, right? Where people were still very much deciding on principles, right? So we've got time. A lot is going on. And I expect us to continue stringing together wins and people to see this. You know, we regularly have meetings of hundreds of people. Whether or not the tactic of like occupying public space is ever gonna matter, I don't think so. I don't think that's really necessary, but the movement has been going on long before people were occupying public space. Thousands of people met each other, created networks, created groups, and they're going to continue doing actions together and continue pressing and continue transforming this country.
There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. Chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm.
Today's economy affecting your life?
I keep hearing about all these freaking like economy growing and jobs. It's all worthless because the only thing that is growing is more people trying to sell stuff and sell stuff that we don't need.
Do you feel disillusioned by it, the way things are today?
I don't see where anything is progressing at all right now. It's me. I don't want to sound so negative or anything, but the company I've been working at said they can't really afford to pay me anymore. You know, and I do a lot for them, but they can only afford people who are like really highly skilled and like work hard and fast. And I don't know. So it's like apparently I can still contribute and I can still hopefully get a lot of back wages, but
what have you been doing for a living?
I've been setting up at a marketplace, an outdoor marketplace that's modeling on a holiday marketplace in Brooklyn. And it's a really ambitious project, but it's not organized well, and I think most of the people there are not making very much money. Like, all these people trying to make a living just by themselves and their small businesses can't do it, because maybe their ideas aren't marketable. It's something that we want to kind of, that could be working a lot more for us, but instead it's just working, it's a struggle for everyone. I was born in South Jersey, in the suburbs.
What town does the show air in Jersey City?
Cherry Hill.
Mary Hill used to hang out in Cherry Hill Park. The game she played lasted all day to way after dark.
Cherry Hill. Go somewhere else. There's no community there. It's the suburbs. You know, all you can do is like ride your car to the mall. Like, seriously.
Do you like America?
America just is. I can't like or dislike it. It just is. And I had. You know, you can change it, you can do what you can to make it better.
Are you hopeful for the future?
Well, if you have any life at all you can do is try and make the future better. That's, you know, if you're not doing that, then why the hell are you here? If you're not trying to fight to make the world like better, to make for humans, for animals, for whoever in the world, then you're just wasting your time, you know?
If you're not part of the solution,
you're part of the problem.
David, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well. You think we're heading for that double dip?
I tend to be optimistic in nature, so I really hope not. I think that Europe has more of an impact than I think our jobs report does, and that's going to affect, I think, the psychology of the country.
That's what we're waiting to see what happens
right,
in Greece.
So and the stock market keeps on going down, and Europe keep on getting bad news. And I don't know if that means a recession for us, but it certainly means people aren't going to be as positive as they seem to have become lately.
Did you support Obama or McCain last time around?
I'm not going to go into my personal views. But if you want to ask me about upcoming, you... I think without talking about my own personal views, I think the economy, obviously, I'm not saying anything smart here, but that's going to be a very deciding factor.
It's going to be the deciding.
And I think the jobs report that came out, I think now it's going to kind of move the momentum toward Romney more than Obama. So we'll see what happens in the future. It's going to be very close.
He says we need more firemen, more policemen, more teachers. Did he not get the message of Wisconsin? The American people did. It's time for us to cut back on government and help the American people.
That were big supporters of him and were expecting him to move mountain and earth, to, you know, on gay rights or whatever, and he did it for political reasons. But I'm come from the opposite point of view. So
he's brought you around a little.
He really has. He's very, very thoughtful. You know, the job situation is tough. I don't know whether a Democrat or Republican can do anything better. I think you had to do a stimulus package, and certainly Bush started with it, and Obama had to continue with it. I think the Republicans are being disingenuous if they don't say it had an effect. It did have an effect.
for the future of the country?
As I said, I try to be an optimist, so yeah, I'm hopeful. I think it's going to be tougher. Certainly, the governing of this country is very tough, and you talked about polarizing, and it is very disappointing. And if we can't find a way of coming together, then I don't know how we get things done with our two-party system. I don't know how you do it.
Thanks for your time. Thank any way you'd like to close off?
I think we have a great country, we have great people, and we just have to figure out how we're going to work together to accomplish something that's good for the country and our children, and be a little bit more cooperative and realize we can't all get what we want. We have to compromise, and that's what politics is about.
I have to ask, what's your line of work?
I'm an attorney.
Attorney?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my card, man. All the best to you. Good luck. Good luck. Here's a street mix from an artist named Alto.
We see you.
As light takes over, this is The Whole World's Watching on Dusty.
Yeah, they got my auntie's house. Middle of February, when that balloon went up, but you couldn't pay up. Tough love, that eviction's ready. All signed by secretary, no mortgage note, cause it's somewhere buried. Number in the CDO, why the CEO was a billionaire. They bought my daddy's firm, figured they could hide cash from taxes. Claim the depreciation and squeeze the bacon out of every asset. I used to spend days on patents, make cars run cleaner, faster. Now the factory's shut and latched. They ran it out of gas and they keep up crashed it. It's not light that we need, but fire. It's not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, whirlwind, and the earthquake.
For the future of America?
Sometimes. I think this Occupy movement was, and still is in a large way, like, a good sign. Like, it shows, like, a healthy, like, smart population that's, like, ready to do something, but I think it's kind of dwindling, and it's hard to know the future of the Occupy movement.
You said it's dwindling?
Yeah, I think the numbers are dwindling, and, like, we have all these, like, segregated little pockets now, which are still, like, these pockets are still doing a lot of work, but...
Do you think people have a short attention span? Is that part of it?
I think that's part of it. I think in this country there's not really a structure for large protests like there are like in Europe, for example, or in other places.
Has the police oppression been a big part of it too? Do you think people are afraid?
I think people are certainly afraid, and I think, it's become almost like, it's become too much of the focus, whereas like, you know, the real focus needs to be on the bankers or the political system in general. One of the biggest problems is like people becoming divided in the Occupy movement, and so yeah, I guess I just want to.
What's causing that?
Differences of opinion, differences of like where we think the movement should go. I think people are also a little bit burnt out. Burnt out. Burnt out. Burnt out. Burnt out.
Also, congrats to Kanye West, because clearly it's out of the bag that his new boo is...
He's a baby boo-boo-boo-boo.
His boo-boo-boo, one of my favorites, Kim Kardashian, apparently with Kanye. They've been friends for years, and now they've been spotted in New York looking very couple-ish. Couple-ish. The morning after they went out, she, without makeup, was spotted leaving his apartment in West Tribeca. Little walk of shame, yes indeed.
Jack, what's your first name, man?
Joshua.
Josh, we're pretty near Madison Square Garden. I thought maybe you were in line for some game tickets or something, but you said for some shoes.
Some shoes. They're Kanye Yeezy 2s.
Kanye's new shoes.
Yes, sir.
And people are lined up around the corner.
We've been here since the 29th.
Are you the first in line?
I'm the first in line. I have the first 20 seats with my guys.
Tell me what these shoes are again.
They're Kanye West Yeezy 2s. They're Kanye West's signature shoe. They go for $275. After the release, they'll go for maybe $2,500 to $3,000.
Now, what's the limit? Is there a certain amount you can buy?
One per person.
Will it make you the coolest guy on the block?
Something like that. It's a $3,000 shoe, so...
Till the next one comes out.
Exactly.
I don't know how old you are.
26.
26, so you weren't collecting shoes back in the day.
No, I've been collecting kicks since 2002.
You're a shoe freak.
Yes, sir.
How many pairs you got?
Right now, I only got like 75, but at one point in 2005, I had about 400.
Has anyone offered you money for your place in line?
I got $1,000 offer. You know what I mean?
And are you going to sell your Kanye shoes?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, man. And that's what everybody's thinking here.
Yes, sir.
How about Kanye? Are you at least a fan?
No, I'm not.
You don't even like him.
No, I'd rather listen to Coldplay.
I'm not loving you way I wanted to. What I had to do, had to run from you. I'm in love with you, but the vibe is wrong, and it haunted me all the way home.
Two more volunteers! Two more volunteers!
You know what? You can't stick your head in the sand any longer. Our window of opportunity is closed. The curtain's gonna fall, and it's gonna hit the fan. And where are these people gonna be? You need to start building community. You need to start talking to your fellow citizens and get a plan in order, because the government's not gonna protect us. No one's safe in this nation. No one's safe.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
Doesn't this scare you? How many police are out there, and why do they need to be out there? Why do they need to stop us from our First Amendment right to protest? This is ridiculous. All of you should be fearing this.
He's half white. He was raised by his white family. So don't try to get elected for being black when you're not. He might as well have had Strom Thurmond in the White House. Thanks to you doing nothing, Obama.
America, we cannot turn back. Not with so much work to be done. Not with so many children to educate and so many veterans to care for. Not with an economy to fix and cities to rebuild and farms to save. Not with so many families to protect and so many lives to mend. America, we cannot turn back. We must pledge once more to march into the future. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Clay Pigeon with you on the Dusty Show. Stay with me. This is Chic.
I want your love. I want your love. I want your love. I want your love. Do you feel like you ever want to try my love and see how well it fits? Baby, can't you see when you look at me? I can't kick this feeling when it hits. All alone in my bed at night, I grab my pillow and squeeze it tight. I think of you and I dream of you all of the time. What am I gonna do? Today. conscience, and I will show love like no other, two steps above. On your ladder, I'll be a peg. I want your love, and please don't make me beg.
From 1978, Nile Rodgers. Minutes after 6. Hey, everybody. Clay Pigeon with you on the Dusty Show. I'm glad you've taken the time to tune in. You know, it's always appreciated. And I love to get an email from you, too. Do it, dusty@wfmu.org.
Gold was in the kitchen cooking breakfast for the queen. The queen was in the parlor playing piano for the children of the king. For the children's holiday. The Duchess of Kikori always smiling and arriving late for tea. The Duke was having problems with a message at the local Airbnb. Especially by the children for a
around a big elephant, your Mitt supporters?
Yes, yes. I think Governor Romney will be a very good president for the country. Unfortunately, President Obama's had several years to lead the country, and he's failed. And you know, as evidenced by tonight, he comes to New York for three fundraisers after attacking private equity. Private equity, which is responsible for companies like Staples, like Sports Authority, that have created thousands upon thousands of jobs around the country for middle-class Americans. The president comes here, he takes money from private equity, he takes money from celebrities. I don't hear him criticizing, you know, Tom Cruise for getting $20 million a film, and yet he'll criticize those who actually create jobs. By helping to fund companies.
I need to feel you, Jerry! Show me the money! Jerry, you better yell! Show me the money!
The president believes in public equity, and he takes public taxpayer funds to create jobs with Solyndra, and yet it goes bankrupt. So you see the difference between private equity, public-private partnerships, which Republicans believe in, and public equity that the president believes in, trying to get in the business of picking winners and losers. And unfortunately, he's failed one too many times.
Do you think people are rightly cynical when you talk about the job creators, that they would take the money and outsource, or CEOs who take an exorbitant salary?
I think if they really felt like it came back to job creating, they would be for it. I think people certainly could criticize CEOs for their salaries. They could certainly criticize Wall Street for certain things. But I think at the end of the day, capitalism is what has allowed for economic growth, which is what has allowed for the American economy to be number one in the world. Not socialism, not government picking winners and losers. And so I think it is important, while yes, sometimes you do have people who will not always do the right thing, even in industries like Wall Street. For the most part, Wall Street has done a lot of good in terms of creating economic opportunity.
Yeah. name, man. What's your now see, I'm profiling you. I'm saying there's an African American dude. He's a hip hop artist. Am I right?
Well, I'm black, Italian, and Cuban. And I'm a producer and hip hop artist. Like, I produce my beats, I do rap. But rap is broken to different genres, so everything's not like vulgar. Like gangsta, even though I can do gangsta rap, I do freestyles, girl songs, club songs. So I try to just express myself.
Wow. Are you pretty good?
I'm the best. Okay, what's your name?
My name's Clay.
Yo, Clay, I don't play. I stand here every day, trying to get paid. I don't want to escalate. They look at me like I'm a slave ship. Like my parents came off a slave ship.
I was a fiend. Before I became a teen, I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream. Music orientated, so when hip-hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzle, complicated.
People were hating on the artists that's caking. To you, my intelligence is irrelevant. Living a hell of sin, I don't care, you can tell a friend. Streets I'm headed in, dreading grim. Living for workout, rapping and battling, man, I need a better gym. Money get better tins. Poverty's for the men I'm trying to get out. Standing up for my rights alone, but it's hard to sit down. Now I'm pissed like a chick, but don't give.
Rich, it's a bitch. I just came to ask your sitch. I don't know how it's going, but I know you keep it flowing. I want to be knowing your heart. That's a good place to start. Hey, I got it. Not too bad.
Yeah, that was good. Climbing, on timing, young dying. But that's it. You look like a young version of Brad Pitt. I get bad chicks in traffic. When I smash it, they call Rich and wanted the marriage. You can have it. Like a blunt when I'm ashing, my flow's fantastic. I'm one of the best. I plan to have Rich in the chest. Cause I spit it so nice, I spit it so smooth. I'm a young cat that just finished his school. Using my tools, got ladies to drool. I could curse and let you know how I got it. But I'm a smart guy, callous stutters getting me brawling. College kids, so you need to acknowledge. Everything that I spit in is solid. Cause I'm hot, you should listen. Cause when I spit it, I'm on that mission just to get it.
Thanks for your time, bro.
Thank you, man.
You know. UFOs cruising overhead. There goes my rocky red. Shoot it up. Oh, shoot it up.
What we need is designer finance.
My wife and I went to see the new Paul Williams documentary, Paul Williams, Still Alive, a film by Stephen Kessler. It was exciting, a great movie. Joe Belock was there with his significant other. It was nice to run into them. And after a Q&A, I was fortunate enough to spend a few moments in conversation with the man himself, Paul Williams on The Dusty Show. I'm talking with Paul Williams. Yes, the Paul Williams of songwriting fame. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You know, we've had a great screening tonight here at the theater. The movie just opened tonight.
At the Angelica.
Paul Williams still alive. I am LP, living proof that Paul Williams is still alive. And I had a chance to say hello to some really nice people, including yourself.
Thanks a lot. I'm so delighted to meet you. I don't want to gush, but I really am just...
gushing is allowed. If it really makes me feel comfortable, please feel free.
I know everyone needs, first of all, to see your movie. How long's the run here at Angelica?
It's here, I think it's at a week at the Angelica, and then we'll see what happens after that. I'm actually not sure. The quick, honest answer to that is I don't know. I can ask Mr. Kess. Steve, how long are we at the Angelica? How long are we here?
All week.
This is director Stephen Kessler. Fantastic film.
Thank you so much.
You have to be excited. I mean, you've done some great work already. Things spoken with that.
Yeah, it's thrilling to be here to open in New York.
And I know you're a genuine fan of
Huge fan of Paul's for a long time. And, you know, we hope everyone gets out and sees the film.
People really need to come out. You stressed in your Q&A. It's important to you, too, that people get out.
You know, it's a film that, first of all, I think it's a very funny movie.
It is.
It's entertaining. It's a lot of great, you know, archival footage and the like and all, but the fact is that I'm 22 years sober, so you get a chance to watch me at my worst, you hear me at my best, because you get to hear the songs that did really well.
But essentially, it
becomes a film about recovery in the end, so I'm very proud of that element of the film.
How much sobriety do you have?
I'm 22. March 15th, 1990 is my sobriety date, and I've got a life today that I couldn't have imagined. I couldn't have had if I kept drinking and using.
You saw it all, but I feel like you can probably honestly say that you're happier now than you've been.
In a heartbeat, and that's a large part of what the film is. You know, he thought, this guy did 50 Tonight shows. All of a sudden, he's walked away. You know, because I walked away from it and said, I'm done. How can he be happy? Well, if you see the film, you see how I can be happy.
Mr. Williams, people are waiting for you. This is your big night for you. I think I'll take my last question with you to say, what would you say to someone who's struggling out there with addiction, as someone who's lived through it?
I would say go to the front of your phone book and you'll find an organization that can help you like they helped me. You'll find what finally happened to me is I hit my knees and I reached out to an absolute stranger and said, you know what, I'm scared to death, I think I'm dying, I don't know what to do, and somebody reached back and said, we can help you. That organization that had saved my bacon is waiting to save yours. You're not alone.
I just hope that you get back one little bit of all the joy you've given to all of us with your wonderful artistry. And you know, I know now that you don't think it all comes from you. But
you know, it's sometimes I don't know whose name to put it down when I do the work. It's all at this point, it's all a gift, and I'm honored to do the work I do as a songwriter and as president and chairman of the board of ASCAP to make sure that these kids coming up can make a viable living with their songs.
Here's the question I always ask finally. What's your message of peace and love to the world, Paul Williams?
Start listening to each other. You don't have to be anything but what you are. Everything you need is inside you to be a loving and caring human being. Start listening to the people that you disagree with. If they listen to you, you guys start talking, you're liable to turn this into a peaceful planet.
Thanks for your time.
You bet.
Here's a Paul Williams song done by Three Dog Night.
Just an old-fashioned love song playing on the radio, and wrapped around the music is the sound of someone promising they'll never go. You swear you've heard it before as it slowly rambles on. Just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and me. Just an old-fashioned love song, coming down in three-part harmony.
To weave our dreams upon and listen to each evening when the lights are low, to underscore our love affair with tenderness and feeling that we've come to know.
forth, it slowly rambles on and on. No need in bringing them back, cause they're never really gone.
Just an old-fashioned love song, coming down in three-part harmony. Just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and me. Just an old
check 1 2. This story's called The Ball. Lot Parsons undid the zipper of his chubby man Gimbal's work pants and he peed directly into the Madison River. He wondered if it wasn't illegal. Was it pollution, this peeing? Was it morally wrong? Probably. Yet he did it flagrantly and not without glee. It was satisfying, wasn't it? A good pee into a good river with the morning sun beaming down, warming his broad, freckled shoulders. An angry chipmunk chattering to his right, upset that Lot was within its wild perimeter. Urination complete, Lot pulled from his shirt pocket a Terryton cigarette. His wrinkled lips wrapped themselves around it. Those lips so bereft of collagen, so thin and unattractive. Those lips so cooled by the early morning air that they were bluish, like the underwings of a jay, or the pale marbles of his youth. Where were those marbles now? He had surely lost them. Or they somehow transformed themselves into smooth little rocks, the ones on the bottom of the Madison, which flowed past him now so quickly, warmed ever so infinitesimally by his water. Changed, however minutely, by his chemical addition, there was pride in that, Lot thought. Pride that he had done that. He finished his cigarette and threw it to the ground. He mashed it into the rocky sand with the sole of his Wellington boot. Mashed it good, with a dollop of muted anger. An anger he could not identify, but one that burned in him incessantly, cruelly, unending. Let the strong hand of Jesus rest on your shoulder, he sang, his resonant baritone flushing the grebes from their roosts in the bushes. They took flight up and up in a quick explosion of gray feathers, a couple of which drifted earthward slowly, tumbling, revolving down and down. Let the sunshine rest upon the boulders. He walked the better part of the day, ascending slowly up the low foothills below the green mountains, up and up. His feet were hot in his boots, and he reached back to feel the damp butt sweat on his pants. His shirt was stuck to his body, a viscous, thick layer of sweat like glue, bonding the coarse fabric of his flannel to the dangling man breasts he was secretly ashamed of, and the overlapping alabaster gut he'd been growing for the last few years. Low testosterone, what a bitch, killing his sex drive and making him fat. Exercise helped, so he walked, but it didn't beat back his gut. It didn't shrink his man breasts. They grew larger every day, larger, larger. He hated himself. He lit another Terryton, and the wrinkles around his lips grew deeper, more permanent. The last of his black lip hairs fighting to retain their flagging pigment, a general grayness conquering not only his thinning hair, but his pallor as well, ashen, sickly. Deathly. He couldn't stand himself. He walked on, and up. The air was harder to suck. The higher he went, he had to stop now and again to catch his breath. And when he did, he took the opportunity to eat sandwiches, mostly, which he carried in a green canvas bag strapped over his back with thick double-sewn straps. They dug into the sunburned meat of his pinkening shoulders, their freckles genetically deteriorating, cells mutating wrongly, deadly. He fell now, twice as he continued, his strength waning, but his resolve not eroded. There was an importance to each step he took, a definite intent, and that intent was to get to the top, to make it, to achieve, to do. And so he did, step after step. his knees bloodied now from the falls, his face a pulled grimace of pain and determination. Around him, normalcy, the animals tending to their animal needs, and he doing the same in his way. Another sandwich, another pull from his canteen, another grunt, another pint of man sweat. Discouragement, yes, in spades, but he moved on. Below him, the world churned and turned, failing and fighting and burning and revolving toward its ultimate end, so far distant that it wasn't realistic to think about, yet it was bound to freeze, bound to be blown barren and cold, bound to be an ultimate darkness, hell on earth scheduled somewhere up ahead, past being dead, past imagination, and yet it was penciled in by the scientists and the brains and the minds. And the times, I can't take it, Lord, he said, and he slapped his own face hard enough that each individual finger left a long red mark. I can't take it, I can't take it. And the odd thing was, he didn't believe in God at all, not at all. He didn't believe in God at all. And up in heaven, God was answering prayers, but he had a backlog of them that was so goddamn long, there was no way he could ever catch up. Not even God could catch up with that long and unending list of prayers. Help me, all those humans seemed to be saying, and God was trying, but he was old and gray and bent and tired. He couldn't keep up. The hiker kept climbing. Surely he was almost there, right? Surely he was near the top. Yet when he looked at the trail in front of him, it extended upward and onward as far as he could see. He reached into his pocket for his map, but it was gone. He'd left it somewhere back, lost it, and now it was shredded and lining the nest of a bird. He could know this, but it didn't mean that it wasn't true. One didn't actually have to see things to confirm them, for them to indeed be true. The bird had taken his lost map and had shredded it and used it to line its nest. The hiker could also not know that a turkey vulture had raided this nest and had eaten the bird's three young chicks, had eaten them whole. And now the great evil bird had taken wing again and joined its sickening brethren. And together they ascended into the hot noontime sky, and they looked down upon the man, looked down upon him and waited for him to die, just like God does, looks down upon men and waits for them to die. And in the hot heat of midday, with each step sucking from him the very essences of life and purpose, each step an agonized exercise and living torture, the man walked on, grunting and groaning and dying, his heart missing beats, sputtering, faltering, his breath coming in labored gasps, his eyes too dry to make tears, his tongue going all black and parrot-like. He was dying, walking. Dying. In his mind, normalcy replaced by a kind of psychedelic alter reality, a place of morbid wrongness, each tall tree becoming a deathly sentinel, each cloud a hanging shadow of doom, the very ground a swallowing mouth of hungry eagerness wanting to become his grave. Right there where he trudged, die, it said, the ground, die, sucker, die. But he did not die. Lord, release me from my earthly bonds. He was singing again, Lord, release me from my earthly bonds. His voice cracked and coarse. Lord, please help me as I amble on. Despite his predicament and his condition, he sang tunefully, and although he did not believe in God, he sang, and he continued to offer his melody to the sky and to God. There was a bland comfort in this hypocrisy and the exercise of it, some comfort that reminded him of his mother, of his home, and of goodness. And so he choked it out as he walked, Lord, deliver me from Satan's hands. God did not deliver him. God was shooting his rays down at earth, doing a little healing there, causing a car wreck over there. Too distracted to hear the hiker's song, yet the hiker sang it to him. Anyway, God, please make of me a righteous man. And now he fell again, onto his chest and onto his face. The dry dirt went into his nostrils and into his mouth. He tasted blood and salt, and he felt time slip away with finality, as if some great clock were ticking down to some last tick before darkness came, and he would be dead. And dead did not seem such a bad place to be. Of course, there were demons, always demons, with their promise of teeth gnashing and pitchforks and hellish laughter, and forever, forever, forever. And he dismissed the thought, death, no, I mustn't die, he said to the dirt. Conflicted. He was too pissed off to die. Too pissed off at the mother blankers who had done this to him, made him take this walk, this trek, this hike, this march up the endless mountain of life in search of silver springs and golden needles and sex and drugs and rock and roll. He made a fist and pounded it into the ground. And a little puff came up like a soul. A little puff. All his strength. And only a little puff. And he did it again. And he hated and pounded, and the vultures came lower and lower, smelling him die, smelling him die. Somehow, he was up again, on his feet, moving forward, and he laughed the saddest little laugh a man ever laughed, and no one heard. Not man, nor beast, nor God, nor the devil, no one heard, for there was no one there. There is no one. He was alone, as we are all alone, you and I, and the marble ponies of salvation stayed stiff and cold in their dimly lit hallways, unprancing, silent, eyeless. A million rich men received oral gratification at the mouths of the nameless. These men's fattened faces, smiling, food stuck to their golden teeth, fattened pigs, damned and loving it, laughing at their fellows, gloating hogs of evil, hated, and they didn't care, hated for having it all. The hiker hated them. He hated them in his mind as he climbed, hated them for ruining it all, ruining every goddamn thing that there was. And he thought of his youth and how it was as gone as his money and his visions of what life could be, could have been. There was only red now and black and fire and ash. There was nothing but the oozing blisters on his feet. And the spinning virgins in his mind dancing, their scarves billowing out and around as cirrus clouds, 10,000 feet high. It confused him. What were they? God! God! He cried, God! Silence. He stopped. The rain came. The rain came in solid sheets, drenching him, saving him, loving him. He removed his clothes and considered his sores, which were plentiful. He saw scars from the whips and warts and contusions, all being anointed, baptized there on the mountainside. He felt a rush of strength bolt through him and tighten his arid sphincter. But not before a jet of fetid gas came out, real, pungent, shameful. He moved beyond it, eating the last sandwich he would ever eat. He was naked and trudging, all fat and legs and penis and man. He was all of these, and he was alive, as the vultures perched on the highest branches of the firs, waiting for the sun, waiting to feed, waiting for Satan's black signal. The Lord is our salvation. It is him we seek. Again. Song. The Lord makes strong men of the sick and weak.
The Lord looks down upon us day and night. The Lord forgives us whether wrong or right. His last breath came and went. He did not know. In his chest, his heart ceased to beat. His spirit exiting, rising, gossamer, translucent, shimmering, shining, beautiful, alive, ascendant, up, up. The vultures tried to intercept, but as they crossed his heavenly path, each exploded in a grisly bunch of guts and feathers, the others feeding on the falling dead, on each other as humans do, seeking only to survive, caring not for propriety in such moments, knowing only need, want, fear, wanting not to join the dead, flying on to the next and the next, stuck on the ball, prisoners riding it out.
It's almost 7 o'clock. Hi, Fabio.
Oh,
I think you're on this one. Try that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I was actually on my way out the door.
I'm glad I caught you.
You did.
Yeah.
You just caught me. Where's Andy?
Now you have so mellowed down in the last hour.
Well, I found out some interesting information, personal. I can't talk about it on the air.
Is that a bummer?
No, it's good. It's actually really good.
It's in?
What?
Nothing.
What? What the hell is that?
Hey, let me do this while I'm thinking of it. Mm-hmm. Where the hell's Andy?
I don't know.
WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope. WFMU.org.
So you pieced together a show today?
Yeah.
You did it live? You had little segments? What was the deal here?
We should take a call. I mean, long.
Yeah, where is Andy? It is. It's eight. It's 7 o'clock. It's right in front of you. So it's right there.
No, it isn't.
Right
there. Yeah. It was. That's the place you don't look.
Yeah, right in front of
your
nose.
Hey, look, somebody's calling
already.
You. Let's just see who it is.
There's Andy.
Who's there? Hello?
Hey, Casey.
Is this Andy? You're on the air.
Hey, how'd you know it was Andy?
I could tell by your voice, man. You're night people.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. What's up, Andy?
Why aren't you in the building?
Because the PATH train isn't running.
Well, they killed the PATH train.
Yeah, I had trouble getting here.
So how are you going to do this show, man?
I don't know. I'm working on that. I'm on my way. I've been trying to get there for like 50 minutes.
Where are you at right now?
Still in lower Manhattan, trying to get a cab or take the PATH.
You might as well bag it.
Fab and I could just do it.
You could stay on the phone and try and do like a...
Stay on the phone until...
Do a fusion show, the Andy and Clay Pigeon show.
We can't do two things at once, can we?
So I'm either going to be very, 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 like 15 or 20 minutes late...
Hey, wait, now, how do I do that? There's a caller. It might be for you, Andy.
Just put it on.
Maybe,
but if I hit that, it won't disconnect, Andy?
I don't think so.
I might lose you, Andy. Or I think I did.
Oh, no.
Caller, are you there? Hello. Hi. Welcome to Night People. This is Clay Pigeon temporarily filling in for Andy with Fabio. Making the Night People bong sound that ushers us in to the pleasures of the evening. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
That was a great show.
Did you like the show?
I did.
Thanks, man.
I did.
You did. I wanted to know, and this is really lazy because I could always go back and listen once you put it in the archives, but what was the name of that short story that you read, because I want to find it.
Oh, it's you won't find it. It's called The Ball. The Ball. I wrote
it. Why won't I find it? You wrote it?
Yeah, and I read it for you, man.
Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. I love to read them. They're not as good when you read them yet. I like to bring them to life. Audiobooks, Bob. That's my only hope, man. Because otherwise,
make cassettes.
Yeah. Hey, caller, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I work at a deli.
You do?
But you make sandwiches and stuff like that?
No, it's actually a Whole Foods deli, so we don't make sandwiches. We just slice the meat.
What's the best day you had in the last 6 months? The best day that you remember? Man, everything came together. It was
the
really
best day?
Fun.
I mean, it's been good. I took a couple weeks off starting Sunday, so this has been a series of pretty good days.
Hmm. Yeah? I'm curious about the deli. Like, what sort of deli is it? I mean, is it like a German, Italian?
Well, no, I mean, a deli might be an overstatement. It's just it's really just a supermarket place.
Ah, okay. They just opened it, Fab.
Huh?
They just opened it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's a new deli.
Uh-huh, okay.
Oh, is it?
Get it? New deli.
Oh, God.
Oh,
man, that was really...
That was kind of...
So bad.
I like the clean ones. Caller?
Caller, I'm sorry for that.
Where are you from? What's your hometown?
New Providence, New Jersey.
New Providence.
Where is that?
Do you know where Summit, New Jersey is?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
Or,
it's like northern Jersey, right?
Yeah, it's Union County.
Yeah.
Okay.
Northern, up, yeah, see, I'm just starting to piece it together after 5 years.
It's like north central Jersey.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say something, I knew
and
it.
And you lost it. See,
my stupid filter stopped it, but it couldn't stop.
Alzheimer's starts early sometimes.
Don't joke about that, Bob. I think I'm there. I'm pre.
You think you're there.
So pre. Come on, Bob. Have you observed me?
I have. It's sad.
It's sad. Hey, I'm running again, though. Caller, do you exercise?
On and off.
What do you do? You sound kind of... Doesn't he sound semi-bummed?
No, I'm good.
Yeah?
He's just had a vacation.
Stuff, I guess.
He's on...
Push-ups, nothing. I don't go to a gym or anything.
You don't? You're young. How old are you?
24.
Oh, that's really young.
You're slender?
Yeah.
You smoke?
Do you smoke?
Yeah.
Cigarettes?
Yeah.
What brand?
A Benson and Hedges.
Benson and Hedges. Wow, classy.
How many a day?
Not much. I don't every day.
Okay, now, this is something I...